So, what do you want coaching on?
So I'm on my way to Mother's Day brunch
Okay.
with my mother,
Good.
who we have a tumultuous relationship. I guess that's the
Okay.
best way to say. But exactly what you were saying a few minutes ago, where it's like I just chose the way I think differently. So she doesn't upset me, she doesn't hurt me. My value doesn't come whether she appreciates me or doesn't appreciate me.
Okay.
However, with that being said, it still comes up, I know, in the background, because it will trigger improper choices on my food. I guess that's the best way to put it.
How do you
It
know
doesn't
that
put.
you're, well, how do you know that what you're eating has to do with your mother and not with something else? Let me just figure that part out.
Because she is the. So we didn't have a really good relationship most of my life, I would say. And she, looking for my mother's love and approval has been like the driving force, I think, of everything in my life. I know this because I would do things that were not conducive to myself just because to try to gain connection with her. And it took a long time, and I'd always get so upset, so devastated. I would just live in this angst place. And I was just like, why can't I get over this? And one day I just had to be like, you're never going to get what you want from her. And as soon as I was able to do that, I was able to live a lot better life. But it's going to any family trauma, any family events, and everything like that just drive my like stress. Like before, I used to throw my back out every single time before I'd go home to family events. And through
Okay.
doing the work with you, it's helped me deal with all of that stuff. Like I used to have it, like my mantra up until like probably like last year, I developed a mantra where it was like, I release the emotional, I released, I say I can't even remember because it was such a great mantra. I released the manifestation of trauma in my body because I realized that I actually didn't have a bad back. My back wasn't bad because I was fat. My back was bad because of my interactions with my parent, with my family, and my
Okay.
stresses. And that's where I put all my stress. As soon as I
So
released that, I let it go. And I do
let's.
so much better going to these events, but then I'll find myself fucking eating without even realizing it afterwards for no particular reason at all. So I really like to have a win this time.
Okay.
100% win this
So
time.
this is right. So this is really important for you to hear. In your mind, the story is my fuck it eats must have something to do with my mom. Although you've done a lot of work and stuff, I don't think that that's what's happening anymore. Do
So
you know
I
what I
think it
think?
might be like the habit of it.
Yeah. What if it's literally not your mother's fault? What if it's
Oh
not?
no, it's not my mother's fault. This is the way I react to my mother. She is
But
who
the
she
thing,
is. She's not going to change.
I get that, but that's still like putting blame on your mom. Like it's let me say it this
Okay.
way. It's the friendly way of saying, if my mom was different, I wouldn't eat. Now we're just saying, I totally accept my mom, but I eat over it. I get triggered over it.
So I don't eat over her. I get triggered by my reactions. I eat over my reaction to her. And the fact that I've done the work, now I've been working with
All right, so
in some of the pardon?
okay. Can you tell me this? When you say I eat over my reaction to her, what does that exactly mean?
So she's a lot, and I can handle a lot in very small doses. However, I think that like the young version of me still is in there somewhere, and always has maybe a little hope that she's
Okay.
different, and I know she's not. I know she's not.
Right. So why is that painful?
Because everybody wants to have a family.
I think this is why it's important for you to talk about this, because it probably feels really good to say, I've gotten past this. I've done a lot of work on this. And I'm not taking away from any of that, but there's still a part of
100%.
you that's hurting, and she's not getting acknowledged. She's getting triggered. An acknowledgement that there's still a big part of you that hurts. And, I think it's very true. I think everyone, I mean, if you just think about, like, we grew up watching, I hate to say this, but I watched something this morning, The Cosby Show, of all the things that I pull out as a family show. But if you think about a lot of the shows we grew up watching, the family unit was always pleasant and loving, and there was a beautiful resolution at the end of it all. And even when they fought, people came around and came together. And, that paints pictures in our heads. And especially as children, we want that. And some of us
100%.
didn't get that. Like, I didn't get that. You didn't get that. So I think what's important for you, if you want to be able to go into this and not fuck it, eat, is to really own going in rather than I've done a lot of work and stuff. Let's go in owning the problem. I'm going to go to this and I'm probably going to see that I'm never going to have what I want. There's just a part of me that will always want my mom to change. There's a, that's the way I've always felt about my dad. And that is what's brought me peace, is that it is okay that there is a little girl inside me who hurts, that she's not going to get the love and the relationship that a lot of people got. And she needs nurturing at brunch. The version of you that's done all the work and stuff, she's so good at preparing and she's good at swatting away a lot of the bullshit. But what's hard for me is to sit there and have a piece of me still longing for a different relationship. Now, how do I take care of myself in that moment, knowing that that will happen? So, what do you think you need to do today to take care of the version of you who is going to be hurt, who's going to still wish that there was a different mother sitting across from her?
So, I think this conversation is probably one of the best things I could do to like do that. So instead of trying to get my game face on, like it's game day, let's go, just get myself pumped up to go into it. Because when I'm there, I do fine. It's that drive that messes it.
So when you're at the brunch, you're fine. It's on the drive home that you're not.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good to
So
know.
it's like I can do well in the moment where I'm like, do you know what I mean? But then it's like it's the drive home that I'll find myself, I'll be like, oh, you know what, I should get a coffee for the drive. And then I'll end up like buying a donut or something ridiculous. And I'm
It's not
like,
ridiculous. Let's not phrase it as ridiculous. That's not parenting yourself. That's not mothering yourself. I think on your drive home, you got to figure out, and this is always the most powerful mother work we're ever going to do, is at some point in our lives, we have to release our mother from the responsibility of mothering us. And that sounds so crazy, but it's like, I always tell myself, Kryn, you're 51 fucking years old. It's time for you to mother you and let your mom off the hook. She's already done what she can do. Like your mom is like my mom. She is at her peak. Like, this is it. Like, I've done my work. I have thought differently about her. If you've talked to her, if any, like, we, like I always like to say, Corinne, your work is complete on your mother. And now it is time for you to mother you. Stop thinking about what she's not. And start thinking about how do I mother myself on the way home? How do I give myself the mothering that I've been wishing and dreaming for my entire life?
never thought of it that way.
It is a big, huge thing, like the healing the mother wounds. I've been doing some research in mother wounds and stuff, and one of the biggest pieces of healing the mother wound is reparenting yourself instead of focusing so much on the thoughts you have about your mother. Like, I think that that's important work, and you've done that. I think you're just ready for level two, and level two is where we start reparenting and we stop trying to. What I'm afraid you fell into, and this is common, is I've done the work on my mom, and now I do a lot of bracing for it. Like, I do a lot of like, this is what I won't tolerate. And when I'm there, these are the things I won't let trigger me. And I'm going in strong. I'm going to go in as a no BS woman. Well, that's a lot of energy and effort. Like, for you to navigate that session, you have to think about how much emotional and mental bandwidth gets sucked out. Like, you're probably making a lot of decisions the entire time. Like, you're just trying to decide, what is she really saying? What is she really thinking? What am I going to say about this? What am I going to do about this? Like, you just have to think about, you kind of go into like high logic mode when you're there. And when you're done, it makes sense that you're just wanting to like, I just need a break. And so this is when we can introduce, if you know that your problem is going to be the ride home, if I was going to mother myself on the way home, truly mother myself, like fill the holes left from my mother, what would that car ride look like? Like, what would I think about? What would I do? What wouldn't I do?
Like the actions that I take that are not conducive to weight loss are always like they happen and I'm just like, where did this come from? Like I have it just they magically appear and I'm just like, how did I fall into this trap again?
It's real
But I
easy.
like how you
You
phrased it
didn't.
that, yeah.
I think it's like so simple. We do fall, like, it feels like it's all happening automatic just because it's happening fast. But there's always what you want to turn your brain on to is you want to say, I've never fell into snacks. Like, it's not like you were driving down the road and you're like, fuck, coffee appeared in a donut. What happened? I didn't even pull in. Like, we want to like really tell ourselves the truth. And the truth is, I didn't fall into it. The truth is, I was wore out from my mom. And my habit brain took over. And there were times when there were decisions to be made, and I just didn't make them. And that's okay, because now I got to get really good at knowing, like, all right, I got to turn my brain on for, I'm probably going to think a coffee is a good idea. And if I can just buy coffee, I can get coffee. But if coffee comes with a side of donut, and that's going to be too hard for me to not catch myself, or it's not going to be easy for me to negotiate, it would probably be better for me to just say, don't pull in and get coffee at all. I don't want you to have to work any harder than you already have worked. That would be
So
parenting.
that's what I just, so I actually just did that. So I went to go get a coffee before I went. I haven't had breakfast or anything, like trying to get out of the house. And I was like, oh, I know if I get a coffee, by the time I get there, I should have something to eat because it's 2.5 hours. I'm going to be famished by the time I get there. And that's just going to set us down for success. But I was like, oh, you know, you're not going to do that. I'm like, wait a minute, you're not really tired. You don't really need a coffee. So I chose instead to go into the gas station and get a bottle of water, a protein shake, and an energy drink instead.
Yeah. So you did a really good job of giving yourself what you needed. And like, think about it. You dialogued with yourself like a mom would. Like, moms sometimes give us boundaries. Sometimes they tell us what we need, and sometimes they're really honest and say, you don't really need that. Like, I
So
wish
I
somebody
think
would stare at me right now and tell me some of the bullshit that I've been buying lately. It's like, girl, you don't like, I wish my mother would come in and say, and slap a lip gloss out of my hand when I'm trying to buy the 333rd one.
another pair of tennis shoes.
Got a brand new pair on right now. How did you know? I am addicted to the dumbest of things, y'all. Just saying. But I just want you to see. For you?
This mother thing is like a thing, like the calling it something instead of me dialoguing with myself, because where instead of me doing peer counseling, I'm like talk to my like have a mother version of myself. And then it's
Yeah.
like, no, you do have a mom, you're just a mom to yourself. Maybe
Yes.
that's a way to. So instead
Well,
of me
and
going, oh, you shouldn't be buying that again, it's like, no, we know how to make better choices.
or you don't even have to say, no, we know how to make better choices. If that feels good to you, say that. Or you can just say, like, I know why I want this. I'm tired. I just worked really hard with my mom, and now I'm going to mom me. A loving mother would say, it's okay. You're just tired, but you probably don't even need it. You need to be listened to. You need, like, think about, like, what do you need? Like, what do you really need? Those are the questions. And that just kind of opens up. I think it's really important, though, for you to just like really think about it is so true that at a certain age, we are all done with our parents. It's like our parents' job is not to parent us for the rest of our life.
And I like what you said about like how in the events I'm held up by it, and then when I leave, the tension leaves, and then it's just like all this like wobbly goobly, you know what I mean? That just like is trying to be like in a moment, make decisions like a drunk person.
Yeah. I think
So
like just
make my decision beforehand of what I'm gonna do, have it planned ahead of time a little better.
yeah. And then one thing that you can do too moving forward after this event is, you know, there's different stages of parenting yourself. Right now, we're going to really focus on how do I parent myself after I've been with my mom. Then the next thing you can work on, and this is something you can journal and whatnot, is I don't want to work so hard when I'm with my mother. Because the way that you talked about it, like it's working, but it also is a lot of energy. It almost feels like you're putting your armor on and going in, and it's like, I'm
100%.
not gonna fight, but I know she's gonna sling the arrows, so I'm gonna put on armor. And armor is heavy and not comfortable, you know, and it does protect you. But it also is exhausting. And so, thinking about the next level of parenting myself is now how do I parent myself when I'm with my mother instead of just protecting myself? And
Got
that's what I
it.
work on too for the future. But today, let's just focus on what we can control, which is.
Yeah, I really want to come away from this one with a win. Like I would like to go home one time and not and arrive at my house, do you know what I mean? The way I left my house.
Okay. And so what has to happen in order for you to, like, in your mind, what does a win look like walking back in the door?
That I feel like I do now, where I don't feel like stuff. I'm not disappointed in like food decisions that I made. I don't feel like I'm over, like I went past enough. I have energy. I'm not just, I'm not spat. Like I don't feel like I gave, like I gave in.
Okay, then all you we gotta
To the
do.
whims of myself.
So when you leave brunch and you're driving home,
I'm heading there now. I'm like, okay, I'm like semi-happy with my because I live in Canada and you can never tell if it's going to be cold or hot here. Like, I'm happy with the venue I chose. I'm happy with the guest list. I'm happy with the menu I chose. And I'm happy with the decision I made beforehand. I'm
yep.
prepared for my conversations there, but I'm gonna take this feedback to heart and try to like soften my armor there and then just see what happens instead
How
of
do you just remind yourself that One thought that you had that might be helpful to reverse is you say you've done all this work on your mom, but you still describe the relationship as tumultuous. The only way for a relationship to be tumultuous is with two parties chopping up the waves.
So I would say it, yeah, I guess.
What I would be reminding myself, and rather than saying, I'm going in and I'm expecting my mom to do all these things, is say, I'm going in, I know what my mom is going to do, and I'm so prepared for it. She can't make waves anymore. I prepared for this. I created this beautiful environment. I've already gotten wins today. Like anything my mother says, I am allowed to let it just be like, that's her. That has nothing to do with me. Like, you are allowed to not take anything personally when you decide to. You're also allowed to tell your inner child, I'm protecting you today. Anything she says doesn't count anymore because I'm the new mom in town. You can even remind yourself of those things. I want you to think about, like, how do you go in powerfully instead of armored? Because there's a difference. There's just a little difference. Armor is great in the beginning, but it sounds like to me you're kind of moving past that and it's exhausting you now. Now it's not giving you as many benefits. Like it's already given you the positives it's going to give, and you're like, but I want more. I don't want to eat after. I don't want fuck it eating and stuff. So now we're going to be, if in order to work on that part, it's like now we got to soften this part. It doesn't mean we're letting go of our armor. We're just using a new tool. We're going in saying, I'm so proud of all the work I've done. It's my job to protect my inner child. And the best way to protect her is to let her know, if you feel anything, please clearly let me know. Like punch me in the gut. Send up like a flush of like hot skin or something so that I know you don't feel safe. And I would, if it was me, because I do this if I ever have to go visit my dad, I'm always looking for any time that the little girl in me is getting triggered. Because the old version of me, this version, she doesn't get triggered. I've made my peace with all of it. I can intellectualize it. I can see why he is the way he is, all that stuff. 12-year-old me is sitting there feeling like, you don't love me, you abandon me, and you call me fat every time you see me. Like, and I'm afraid, but you're not gonna love me. And so I let her send me clear signals, and when she sends them to me, I go to the bathroom and I sit there and I nurture her. 'Cause ain't nobody coming into the bathroom. Nobody's gonna know what you're doing in there. And you can use that as time to regroup and to soothe the inner child and say, I know what she just said, felt bad. I hear you, but I am taking care of us. And we have a great life that we're fixing to live. Let me do the work now. You don't need to anymore. You get to just rest and feel safe. You get to rest and feel loved. Like I'm doing it now. And like you, it's that constant reassurance is what ends up reparenting ourselves. And then the next thing we know, like being around our triggering ass parents is not that bad.
So I think it's reminding myself beforehand, it's like, okay, I got you. She's gonna do stuff that triggers you where I don't actually, I'm just like, nothing will get you. And then when it does, I'm like, wait, I'm like, I feel like I've been like sideswiped. Because I'm like, why did that, like, and it's just like whammo. And I'm like, how did I actually have, like, how did I allow, and then I like get mad, upset with myself. I'm like, how did you let that happen to you? You know better. How
It's
could you have
because you were
expected
sideswiped.
more?
That would be like getting sideswiped in a car. Like if somebody T-boned you right now, they'd be like getting out of the car going, that was my fault. How did you let that happen? Like it's like if we think about it like
Talking
that, it's
to myself, like, yeah.
like
I
you're
think I just have
this.
to like kind of like have a checklist. Okay, she's gonna do stuff that triggers you probably. Whether it triggers you or not, just like you know that it's going to happen instead of expecting it. So instead of being surprised when it does.
Yeah. And this is what you can do is you can think about on the way there, there's always signals that it's happening. It's just most of the time we haven't ever diagnosed situations enough to see all the early warning signs we were getting. We just, like, our memory is terrible. I was reading an article this morning about our memory, and I can't remember the exact term, but basically your brain remembers things. And like every time it has a memory of the past, it literally changes the memory. And it changes it based on how you're thinking and feeling and things that are going on in your current life. And it manipulates memories all the time. And so you remember these things. It's just being sideswiped. Like, it's just like, how did this even happen? And if you really think about it, I will bet you that every single time your mom does something, warning signs go up in your head. You will think things like, I can't believe she said that. I hate it when she acts that way. Or, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Or, I can't believe she's saying that to me. You might feel flushed. You might feel jittery all at once. You may see yourself eating and all of a sudden you're eating faster, or you're grabbing things that you said you wouldn't. Those are all signs that you're activated. But we like make all those signs, like especially if we start eating, we make those things no longer signs. We're like, oh, we fucked up. I'm like, no, that's a signal that you're currently activated. It's a signal to put your napkin down, go to the bathroom and regroup so you don't fuck it, eat all the way through the meal, grab coffee and a donut on the way home. So it's like looking at all that and being like, oh, these are signs, not fuck ups. And there's probably even more signs that if you, like, I would just tell your inner child, girl, I need you to be loud and proud about when you're triggered today. Like, I don't care if you make me almost have diarrhea. You can make me have a panic attack. Whatever it is you need, you send up your signal because I will be listening today. And that turns
I'm the type of person that just, I don't do stuff in public. So that's why I think this will be like so good. Me like just waiting for those signals to like catapult, like, you're going to get signals, pay attention to them, reminding myself that beforehand, like now, to know ahead of time, because I'm the type, like, I get very quiet. I come from the old school way, like, you don't have, you know, outbursts in public. It's, she's your superior, you know, it's like, you don't say anything, like, you,
that is
just
so
don't say anything in mixed company.
Well, that is so smart of you to recognize, because when people are typically what we call the non-responders, where like you get triggered and you get angry, or you get like where some people yell, scream, stomp out of the room, slam the doors and do things. Those people don't always tend to be emotional eaters, and those they might eat in other times, but because they're letting out and showing everybody their feelings, they don't always eat. There is a lot of science behind that, that people tend to rage eat when they feel like they can't have a voice. So when you say, you know, I'm the stoic type, like when something happens, I just kind of shut down. That energy is in your body. And it's not just anger. It can be disappointment, disapproval, like those kinds of things. Eating is a way, it's like your version of slamming a door. It's your version of slamming your fist on the table and saying enough. Eating is the way our body has learned, like when I eat, this is the way I represent, I'm upset. So now that we know that, we can look for when you're eating out of your no BS norm and say like, oh, I must be triggered in this moment. So if that's the case, let me excuse myself for a minute. Let me reparent myself. Let me talk to myself. Let me go tell myself I am feeling this and I'm here for it. Okay.
Wow, that was great.
Okay.
That was great. And I want to preface all of this with my mother is actually a very lovely person. She has a good heart. She has a good heart. And I know that there's no, I don't believe she has like malice in her in the moments. I think she just doesn't know how to do the work. She's not going to be doing the work on herself. So I only can do the work on me to manage me and meet her where she is.
Yeah, she's just not going to love you the way you wish.
Yeah.
And that's like for you to grieve and for you to accept and figure out, all right, if she can't love me the way I wish, how can I love me the way I wish?
When you talk publicly in a negative way about another person is actually really difficult for me.
But I don't think she talks negative about your mother.
So, like,
I just wouldn't characterize it as talking negative. All mothers have flaws. This is your mom's unique set. And you obviously love her. And
yes.
I don't care, like, I don't know if you have children.
No.
But, like, you know,
I have a puppy.
All right, so let's take your puppy. Do you love him 24/7 or does sometimes a little shit chew on furniture, or poop in the floor, do stuff that like take too long on a wall, go sniff a dog's ass he's not supposed to?
She's a terrorist for about 45 minutes every day.
So the reason I say this is because there are people and animals and things that we love greatly in the world, and yet a lot of times we're still very disappointed in them.
Can you just stop for 5 minutes? Can you just stop? And I'm like, and I'm sorry that I'm yelling at you, but at least you're not a child, so I'm not emotionally scarring you for life. But can you please stop?
Yeah. And I'm sure if I went to any of your social media, I would never see anything but lovely things about that dog. So have a good one. Happy Mother's Day.
Okay, thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
There's that little angel. That's her avatar. All right, Joan, let's go. Yes, rage eating is a thing. Rage eating tends to come out in the rebels because rebel eating is kind of like rage eating. It's just rage eating is like a subset of the rebel eater, but a rebel eater, and y'all are going to learn about this next month. We're going to cover all the different types of, we're doing the emotional eating reset next month, where we're going to talk about emotional eating on a broader scale, just like in all the different facets and, you know, kind of where everything kind of kickstarts. And the rebel eater usually is someone who is eating to rebel against things. So you might be rebelling against, like if you feel like you're on a diet and you don't want to be, even if it's no BS and, you know, it's like, it makes intellectual sense. Like, oh my God, this is exactly how I want to eat for the rest of my life. But the second that you're hungry and you can't have something, all of a sudden you're like pissed off and it reminds you of past diets where everything was taken away. Rebel eating also happens a lot when you are in situations where you're upset or you're angry and you've been taught like you're not supposed to talk back. You should, you know, you should be demure, whatever it is. And a lot of times we eat and the tactical eating, like just think about eating. You're moving your mouth. What do you do when you're angry and you're supposed to voice your needs? Move your mouth. It's like a way that your brain feels like, okay, we're moving the energy through. We're moving the energy through.